الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كتاب بدء الوحي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. باب كيف كان بدء الوحي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقول الله عز وجل: إنا أوحينا إليك كما أوحينا إلى نوح والنبيين من بعده. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi begins his book, first of all, with the book of Revelation. In fact, the complete translation would be Kitab Bad'i Wahyi ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book of the beginning of revelation to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most authors tend to begin their book of hadith with either Kitab al-Iman, the book of faith, or even Kitab al-Tahara, book of purity. But Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has chosen to begin his collection of hadith with the book of the beginning of revelation, because even before one's faith can be understood, even before one purifies oneself in order to stand before Allah in prayer, before anyone can do any of these things, that link has to be established between himself and his Creator. And even before we came to know of the laws of purity, of prayer, of faith, the first thing that connected this ummah to its creator was wahi, the revelation through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And since revelation is a precursor, it's an introduction. In fact, it's a prerequisite and a condition for everything that comes afterwards, including purity, prayer, good deeds, charity, even faith itself. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi begins at the very beginning, i.e. at the beginning of revelation to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, Kitab Bad' al-Wahy ila Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, book on the beginning of revelation to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he inserts a chapter heading. This is the book. And then in the book he will have a number of chapter headings, and in each chapter he will insert a number of hadith. And don't forget that this is the summarized version. So in many instances, the scholar Imam Zainuddin al-Zabidi rahmatullahi alayhi, who summarized the book and abridged Sahih al-Bukhari, he has followed a particular pattern, which means that he will not necessarily mention all of the ahadith that are contained in any one chapter, but he aims to include one example of each hadith from the whole book, the longest and the best version. So this is the book of the beginning of revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the first chapter heading is Babun كيف كان بدء الوحي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, chapter on how was the beginning of revelation to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now in both the book and the chapter heading, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has used the word beginning. How was the beginning of the revelation to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And his objective isn't to identify the chronological order of wahi and revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or mark the precise time when it began. But what Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi aims to do in general in this whole book and in this chapter is to describe that period and mention those incidents and events that surrounded the beginning of revelation to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, as well as what continued afterwards. And obviously that period is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approximately 40 years of age. Well, he was 40 years of age that time and for a few years afterwards. But Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is not trying to establish the precise beginning of revelation, but he aims to speak about that whole period when wahi first began to descend upon the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also mention many of the incidents and events that surrounded the revelation from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this chapter he will also explain how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would receive wahi from Allah, he would receive the revelation. Imam Bukhari also uses a verse of the Quran in the chapter heading to describe the contents of the following chapters. So he says, بَابٌ كَيْفَ كَانَ بَدْءُ الْوَحِي إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. And this is where Imam Bukhari ends verse. And before I continue, I'd like to mention a few points about this. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, part of his pattern in his book is that he will establish a chapter heading in order to prove a point of law, of Islam, of faith. And in the chapter heading he would include a number of narrations which may be authentic according to his conditions in the rest of the book, and therefore that narration will be found in another part of the book. But here he only refers to it by mentioning one or two sentences from the entire hadith and omitting the rest. Or the hadith may not be according to his condition, and therefore he doesn't want to insert it in the main body and the main text of his book, because it's not as authentic as he would like it to be according to his peculiar and individual conditions in Sahih. I explained all of this last week. And as part of the chapter heading, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi also mentions verses of the Quran that signify or indicate the content of the chapter. And since here he is talking about revelation, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi has inserted the verse from Surah An-Nisa, إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. And this is where he ends. Now the question is, out of all of the verses of the Qur'an, why does Imam Bukhari choose this one verse alone? Has he just picked it and selected it at random? Or is there a purpose behind it? Well, it's not just a random choice. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi's genius would deny that. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi in his chapter headings, and this isn't something I mentioned before, so in the introduction, so listen to it very carefully. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi throughout his book, even in his chapter headings, avoids trying to say anything from himself, even a single word. So even in the chapter heading, when he wishes to stress a point or just give the title of the chapter, he will very meticulously select words from other ahadith or words from the Qur'an. And only, absolutely, if needed, in order to make the matter clear, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi will, in as few as words as possible, he will complete the sentence with one or two words from himself. Otherwise, even in his choice of words, when he's just explaining a point and making the chapter heading and giving it a title, He will select words that are taken directly from the ahadith, maybe related in his book, and maybe not found in his main body of the book, but found in other collections of hadith. So when he has chosen this verse, one can ask, why this verse out of all of the verses of the Quran? Because in fact, nowhere in the chapter does he then proceed to comment on the verse or speak about it. He's just used it as a reference. And then again, he's only used part of the verse as a reference. For a number of reasons. One, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, his habit, not always but quite often, is to mention only the beginning of the verse or the beginning of a series of verses which ultimately contain material that is relevant to the chapter. So sometimes people look at only the beginning of the verse that Imam Bukhari has put in the book and they say this has absolutely no relevance to the chapter. But the reason is Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi only wishes to provide it as a reference, as an indicator. That look at the rest of the verse, or look at the remainder of the verses in the series, and you will understand the relevance to the chapter. And again, this is what he has done here. He has used only the beginning of the verse, "Inna awhayna ilayka kama awhayna ila Nuhin wa nabiyyin min ba'dih," which means Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah An-Nisa, "Indeed, we have revealed to you just as we revealed to the Prophet Nuh and to the prophets after him," alayhimu salatu wassalam. Then the verse continues, but Imam Bukhari has not mentioned it. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَعِيسَى وَأَيُّوبَ وَيُونُسَ وَهَارُونَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا وَرُسُلًا قَدْ قَصَصْنَاهُمْ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَرُسُلًا لَمْ نَقْصُصْهُمْ عَلَيْكَ وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِئَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. This is the remainder of the verse and the following two verses to which Imam Bukhari is actually referring to. And you will understand by the translation. Verily, we have revealed to you just as we revealed to Nuh and to the messengers after him. And we revealed and we sent revelations to Ibrahim, to Ismail, to Ishaq, to Ya'qub, and the children of Ya'qub, to the tribes, to Isa, to Ayyub, to Yunus, to Harun, to Sulaiman. And we gave Dawood the Psalms. There are messengers of whom we have related to you, about whom we have related to you. And there are other messengers of whom we have not related to you anything. And Allah spoke directly to Musa. Messengers who came as givers of glad tidings, and messengers who came as bearers of warnings, so that mankind may have no argument or proof against Allah after the arrival of these messengers. And Allah is Almighty, All Wise. Now, if one looks at these verses, alayhimu salatu wassalam, I didn't mention sallallahu alayhi wasallam or the prophets because I was just directly translating the verses of the Quran, alayhimu salatu wassalam. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has so carefully chosen probably the most comprehensive verse in the entire Quran about the process of revelation from the heavens to the earth and the connection of Allah's creation to the Creator through the chain of prophets alayhi wassalatu wassalam. And Allah has mentioned that just what Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi is indicating is that Rasulullah alayhi salatu wassalam, when he first received the revelation, and that is what he will speak of later on in the chapter, this marked the beginning of the connection of this ummah with Allah Azza wa Jalla. But his message was not new. His message was not an innovation. As Allah says in the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Say to the people that I have not come with a new message from amongst the messengers, or with an innovation, something which is unprecedented, But the message which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought is the same message that was given to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and all of the prophets who followed him, whom Allah specifically one by one names in these verses, and to answer the question of those people who say, why aren't the others named? Allah azza wa jal says, and they are messengers whose news we have related to you, and they are those of whom we have related nothing to you. So, when speaking of wahi and revelation, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah refers to that process and that chain that stretches back all the way to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the first Nabi after the Prophet Adam sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As I mentioned in the introduction, I don't want to elaborate too much on each hadith for the simple reason that if we do, it would mean restricting one hadith to one session. And since even in the abridged version we have to cover 2,230 hadith, most likely we will expire before we even reach anywhere close to that number. So I suffice with that as the introduction to the chapter heading and the book, and then we proceed to the first hadith. Before I do, I'd just like to say something about isnad. Sanad means a chain of narration, chain of transmission. There are two words, sanad and isnad, both, although different and pronounced differently and spelt differently in Arabic, ultimately refer to one and the same thing. They are synonymous. Sanad or isnad means that chain of transmission, that chain of narration that links two narrators or more. And specifically in the context of hadith, sanad and isnad both refer to the chain of transmission from a person who relates a hadith all the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This sanad is something unique to this ummah. It's a miracle of this ummah. No other religion, no other nation, no other group of people ever in the history of mankind have something even coming close to or even resembling the sanad. It's a unique feature of the knowledge of this ummah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised in the Quran, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun." Indeed, we have revealed the admonition, the dhikr of the Quran, and we shall most assuredly preserve it. And as part of its preservation, as a process of that preservation, Allah introduced into this ummah the unique science and the unique feature of the sanad, the chain of transmission, through which Allah has preserved the learning of this ummah, the Quran and the hadith and the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for eternity. Look at any other religion, even Christianity, that supposedly boasts the greatest following, the largest following. The Christians refer to their Bible, the New Testament, as having been recorded by four authors, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. But they themselves have to admit that a great expanse of time separates these authors and Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And they could only go by hearsay. What they learned much afterwards, after the information had been distorted, manipulated, lost, and this is how they have compiled very conflicting, incongruous and differing versions of the life and sayings of the Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's just about the holiest book. As far as everything else is concerned, they have absolutely no history except what's invented afterwards. But Allah has preserved the Quran in a miraculous way. And not only the Quran, since the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a companion to the Quran, it is its explanation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved that also through a unique system of sanad and isnad, this chain of transmission and relating. And this is how the authors collected their ahadith. No one could stand up and say, "I heard this," or "the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this." Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was once visited by Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, who knocked on the door. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu didn't open the door. So, for some reason, Sayyidina Musa al-Ashari knocked thrice and then left. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu emerged and wanted to find out who had come. So he said, he made some inquiries, and he summoned Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ashari. He said to him, "Why did you leave?" So he said to him, "I knocked thrice and you never answered, so I left." And the Prophet ﷺ has told us to knock thrice and to seek permission. And if we are not given permission, if no one answers after three knocks, we are to return. Now this was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, a companion, saying this about the Prophet ﷺ. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Who else can corroborate your statement that the Prophet ﷺ said this?" Now Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu became concerned, because he knew, he was convinced, he was speaking the truth. He heard it directly from the Prophet ﷺ. But Amir al-Mu'mineen wanted corroboration. So he went and he found a group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum seated. And he said to them, "Can any one of you corroborate and testify in my favour that the Prophet ﷺ said, 'Not thrice, and if the door is not answered, leave'?" Most of them said yes, if not all of them. So he said, "Will one of you come with me?" So they deliberately selected the youngest Sahabi present there, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. He said, "Send, you go with him." Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu went with Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, "Have you heard this hadith?" He confirmed that he had heard the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Listen, I did not doubt you for a moment, but I did not want to set a precedent to allow anyone to come after you and claim that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, or the Prophet said this, and he may not have done so." And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, regretting the fact that he had not heard this hadith, he said, "Indeed, my brothers in religion gain the knowledge from the Prophet of Allah, but me, trading in the market kept me preoccupied from learning the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And that was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak used to say, Al-Isna, as Imam Muslim has quoted in the introduction to his Sahih, "Al-Isnadu min ad-deen, walaw al-Isnad, laqala man sha'a ma sha'a." Isnad, this chain of transmission, is from religion. And if it wasn't for this isnad, then anyone could have said anything they wished. And Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Whoever attempts to seek and learn hadith without an isnad, he is like one who gathers wood at night in the darkness. He picks up wood not knowing that there is a serpent inside his bundle of wood." So isnad is extremely important. And before I continue, I'd just like to mention the hadith with the chain of narration, beginning from myself to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's time for salah. If you wish to listen to the sanad and the first hadith with a complete chain of narration, they remain behind after salah. As I was mentioning before salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this ummah with this unique, foolproof system of isnad. And I related the story of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. What Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said, that whoever tries to seek hadith without a sanad is like one who is gathering wood at night in the darkness, and he gathers a bundle of wood, and in that bundle of wood there is a serpent, and he doesn't even realize. It's a very dangerous thing to do. This is a testimony of the ulama and the imams of hadith. And alhamdulillah, I had the honor, through the grace and bounty of Almighty Allah, of studying a number of books of hadith in the entirety from beginning to the end under various teachers, with ijazah, with permission to relate and teach, and with a complete sanad from my teachers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in each book I have various isnads, but since we are only speaking of the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, of which this is the abridged version, I will relate only one chain of narration, one sanad, and link that to the first hadith. All of the authorities, all of the teachers in this chain of narration have studied and taught the whole book various times. And when one student relates from his teacher in this chain of narration, this is a unique thing about this sanad, that in this sanad, every student who relates from his teacher is not just relating one hadith, but he has studied the entire book, all 7,400 hadith, from beginning till end, under these teachers. So, but I will only link this sanad and chain to the first hadith. So, although I've studied the whole book under our teacher of hadith, Shaykh Islam al-Haq, rahimahullah, who passed away in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara a few years ago, at a very old age, when I say that he related to us, I'm speaking only about the first hadith. Although this chain is applicable to every single hadith from the beginning till the end. Shaykh Islam al-Haq, rahimahullah, narrated to us from Mufti Kifayatullah, from Shaykh al-Hind, Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan, from Mawlana Qasim al-Nanutwi, from Shah Abdul Ghani al-Dahlawi, from Shah Muhammad Ishaq al-Dahlawi, from Shah Abdul Aziz al-Dahlawi, from Shah Waliullah al-Dahlawi, from Shaykh Abu Tahir al-Madani, from his father Shaykh Ibrahim al-Madani, from Shaykh Ahmed al-Qashashi, from Ahmed bin Abdul Quddus al-Shannawi, from Shaykh Shamsuddin al-Ramli, from Shaykh al-Hafiz Zainuddin Zakariya al-Ansari, from Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, from Ibrahim bin Ahmed al-Tannuhi, from Abu al-Abbas Ahmed ibn Abi Talib al-Hajjar, from Siraj al-Husayn ibn Mubarak al-Zabidi, from Shaykh Abu al-Waqt Abdul Awwal ibn Isa al-Harawi, from Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Muzaffar al-Dawoodi, from Abu Muhammad Abdullah al-Saraghsi, from Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Yusuf al-Farbari, from Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail bin Ibrahim bin Mughira bin Bardizbah al-Bukhari al-Ju'fi rahimahullah, who says, حدثنا الحميدي أبو عبد الله الزبير قال حدثنا سفيان أبو عبد الله الزبير الحميدي related to us from سفيان who said يحيى بن سعيد الأنصاري related to us that محمد بن إبراهيم التيمي related to us that Alqama bin Waqqas al-Laythi related to us. He says, I heard Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu upon the minbar say, I heard the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, innama al-a'malu bin niyat wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa. Faman kanat hijratuhu ila dunya yusibuha aw imra'atin yankihuha fahijratuhu ila ma hajara ilayhi. So this is the first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari with a complete chain from myself to Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, who relates from Humaydi, who relates from Sufyan, who relates from Yahya bin Sa'id al-Ansari, who relates from Muhammad bin Ibrahim al-Taymi, who relates from Alqama bin Waqqas al-Laythi, who relates from Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab upon the minbar said, I heard the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, deeds are by intentions. Therefore, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And a man will only receive what he has intended. So whoever's hijrah is to the dunya, that he wishes to acquire, or a woman that he seeks to marry, then his hijrah is to that which he has intended. This is the first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. Before I comment on it in various ways, first of all, this hadith has absolutely nothing to do with revelation. So why has Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi inserted this hadith in the chapter "How was the beginning of revelation to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam"? Well, first of all, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi wishes to draw everybody's intention to the simple fact that before we proceed and learn about the revelation and then other aspects of Islam in this most auspicious collection of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith, let us all check and review our intention. Why are we seated here? Why am I speaking? Why are you listening? Why did Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi compile this book? And what's the purpose and objective of those who read it? For nothing is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without purity of motive and sincerity of intention. And we need to remind ourselves of this first, even before we do anything else. Whether it's to do with ilm, whether it's to do with jihad, whether it's to do with salah, whether it's to do with tawheed, whether it's to do with iman, nothing can be accepted or will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without purity of motive, sincerity of intention. And this is what Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi wishes to draw everybody's attention to. First of all, and the hadith is not entirely unconnected. Imam Bukhari begins the hadith with the words, "Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat." Deeds are only by intentions. And there is a very strong connection to wahi, to revelation, which is simply this: that we can never know the rewards of good deeds or the punishments and the abhorrent nature of sins in Islam. We can never come to know of our obligations, of our duties, or about the prohibitions in Islam without taking recourse to the book of Allah and the hadith of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that means only by revelation. And once we have learned about these things, they can only be correctly performed if our intentions are sincere. So innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, indeeds are only by intentions.